Hey, everybody, Fan the Charlie Kirk Show. 2024 is the battle of the sexes as we go through the latest data to show the differences between how men and women, especially young men and women, are viewing this election. It's really powerful stuff. I think you're going to love it. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. I'll become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com today. And so get involved and become a member. It's members.charliekirk.com. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. I want to begin with this very, very interesting story from the Wall Street Journal. Harris is still trying to rebuild Biden's winning 2020 coalition. Vice president rallies support among Black and Latino voters, but continues to trail Biden's 2020 levels. It's very important as we take a step back here to realize that outside of all the noise, all of the hocus pocus, all of the energy that they're trying to throw at Kamala Harris, how is she actually doing versus Democrats that have run in the recent past? How is she doing versus Biden's coalition? How is she doing versus Hillary? How is she doing versus Obama? The Democrat coalition that elected Joe Biden in 2020 was fractured and weakened by the time he ended his campaign for re-election. In 6 weeks since, Kamala Harris has gone a long way towards repairing the damage, but exclusive Wall Street Journal polling and data shows the vice president has a lot more work to do to overcome the gains that Donald Trump has made with Black, Latino, and younger voters. And with younger voters, I'm just going to kind of take pause. I'm going to say the hard work that Turning Point has been doing the last 12 years is making a sizable, measurable difference in the 2024 election. Now, we'll see what the impact actually is. We'll see how the youth vote ends up materializing. You know, somebody said the other day, oh, Charlie, I think Trump's going to win the youth vote. I do not think Trump is going to win the youth vote. I do think we'll do better. I think we'll do better versus 2020. Lose by less. Make those incremental moves. I showed you the picture yesterday of the frat boys for Trump that we had at Arizona State University. Continues by saying, support for Harris has grown by 13 points with Black voters. She's still 10 points, though, behind Joe Biden's 2020 mark. Harris has gained 13 points with Latinos, but still lags by 6 points. Similarly, Harris has improved the party's standing among younger voters, those under the age of 30, by 7 points. But the party still has a deficit compared to where they were in 2020, where Biden's support was 12 points higher. Now, what could explain this? Well, young men are the most conservative that we've seen in 30 years. As the Wall Street Journal reports, one reason Harris hasn't closed the gap among these voters is that many men find Trump more appealing now than 4 years ago. He's winning 20% of Black men in the Journal's two most recent polls, far higher than his 12% share in 2020. And Trump is essentially tied with Harris among Latino men, drawing 47% support compared with Harris's 48%. Analysts have suggested a mix of reasons for the shift. Among them, the relative importance men and women place on abortion, as well as differing views on the economy and Trump's assertive persona. This is very big. Why? Because Trump still only fell 42,000 ballots short across three states. 10,000 votes in Arizona, 11,000 votes in Georgia, 21,000 votes in Wisconsin. The Wall Street Journal asks the question, if Harris cannot match her 2020 showing among these groups, where might she make up the votes? Many analysts say that she can look to white voters, especially white women, responding to her promises to work to restore access to abortion. If they are right, the first black female president could have a winning coalition that relies on white voters and less on those from minority groups than they did with white men elected just before her. And let's be honest, of all the communities in America, who's the community that supports abortion the most favorably? It is white women are the core. Abortion is the sacrament of the secular religion of leftism. For them, abortion is everything. It is the Eucharist for them. That's where the trends are heading, said Greg Strimple, a Republican pollster. That's what I think is happening, in large part because women, including white women, are animated by the loss of abortion rights. Okay, silly way to put it. You don't have abortion rights, but we're not going to get into that. A small gain among white voters can offset a big loss among those minority groups because white voters account for 70% more of those who participate in elections. What's so interesting is we have been talking about this for the last year and a half, that if Donald Trump just runs up the score with white voters, the game is over. Among the white voters of both genders, Harris drew more support than Biden did in 2020. New York Times polling in August found that Harris, topping Biden's 2020 support levels among white voters with a college degree in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Nationally, Harris is matching Biden's 2020 support among white voters with four-year college degrees. But here's where it gets so interesting. Democrats believe these states are worthy of Harris's investment, including Tim Walz. Now, what is the one group where Kamala Harris is doing just as well as Joe Biden? Well, she's doing worse with younger voters. She's doing worse with black voters. She's doing worse with Latino voters. They say she is doing worse. She's doing almost as well, if not better, with baby boomer women. Now, I want to be a little bit nuanced here. It's very possible that it's difficult to poll baby boomer women. Very hard to find the accurate standing of where baby boomers stand on this. These voter trends have big implications for campaign strategy, the Wall Street Journal reports. With Biden on the ticket, many Democrats believed his support has eroded so much with black and Latino voters that his prospects all but collapsed in Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. When Harris became the nominee, they shifted their views again, and they now see those diverse states as competitive. Now, understand this, that the focus is always, Charlie, we have to do better with black voters, do better with Latino voters. Yes, but if you just do 2% better with white men in Pennsylvania, you win the state of Pennsylvania. This is less about the election of Hispanics and blacks versus white voters, and it's more about men versus women, and it's more about class. People vote far more in alignment with their class than they do with their race. And more data is showing that despite all of the propaganda that Kamala Harris is benefiting from, she is not doing that much better in this 2024 election than Joe Biden was before the horrendous debate on CNN. Not that much better. In fact, we analyze this on a state-by-state basis. It is very clear that the younger voting demographic, with young men ascending to the Republican Party, is throwing a curveball into all of the Democrats' plans. In fact, the greatest generation divide ever documented, is with Gen Z voters when it comes to male and female. I'm going to dive into this. It is a 51-point gap. A 51-point gap between Gen Z men and women. We have never seen a polling gap like this. They see the world so differently. Gen Z women are all about being a girl boss and being able to get abortions and want the government to pay for everything and radical feminist independence and cool with men showering with them in their locker room. Whereas men say, that's all insane. We do not want to keep on being told to get our 9th booster shot. We want to have a family. We do not want to be ridiculed because we are men. This truly is going to become the battle of the sexes. How would you define your relationship with sleep? Are there challenges, trouble falling asleep or staying asleep? Would you say the quality of your sleep is negatively impacts your life? Have you tried other sleep supplements but feel like nothing has worked? Here's the thing about sleep. It's the foundation of whole body health. When we sleep well, our minds and our bodies perform at their best. Good sleep is both mental and physical, and our daily performance depends on it. Three words, Beams Dream Powder, a science-based healthy hot cocoa for sleep. This product has single-handedly changed the way I sleep for the better. My listeners get a special discount on Beams Dream Powder, their science-based healthy hot cocoa for sleep and no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. Erica loves this, by the way. She has before bed, really good, was having tough sleep with all the two kids under two. Boom, Beam Dream Powder works amazing. Other sleep aids cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, Apigen, melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. Beam is trusted by the world's top athletes and business professionals. It's no wonder Forbes and the New York Times are talking all about them. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Charlie and use promo code Charlie at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Charlie. Use promo code Charlie for 40% off. Check it out right now. So what explains the 51-point gap with Gen Z voters? 51 points. According to the New York Times, Siena polling, quote, earlier this month, shows between voters 18 to 29 with more women favoring Kamala Harris, while more men, of course, favor President Donald Trump. The 51-point gap between Gen Z male and female voters is vastly larger than any gap of any other generation in the history of polling to date. We've never seen anything like it. So we've never seen like boomer women and boomer men disconnected this much. We've never seen Gen Z or Gen X or millennials. Usually there's at least some parity. In fact, Gen Z men are more conservative than boomer men. That is a factual data point where Gen Z men are far more pro-Trump than boomer men are. However, boomers are generally more pro-Trump because boomer women are far more pro-Trump than Gen Z women. What explains this? This is a worldview issue. The entire culture has become hyper-feminized. Take the shot, take the booster, obey authority, sculpt your pronouns, micromanage your decisions. Whereas men say, no, I want to have a sense of independence and autonomy. I'm not going to take that shot. Actually, tell me what's in that shot before you make me take it because it's a bad flu. The idea of being assertive with confidence in expressing your own ideas and your own decisions is a masculine trait. Everything the left is trying to do is trying to destroy philosophical assertiveness. The idea of not just an alpha man, but just a regular American male is toxic to the Democrat Party. When I was at the DNC, some of the men that were walking around there, not exactly what you would consider to be the icon of American masculinity, just very wimpy. Let's just put it this way. They will follow orders no matter what. American masculinity is dying and Gen Z men want to bring it back. We saw the beginning stages of this at Turning Point the last couple of years. And we've been pouring gas on this fire. We've been celebrating. We've been talking about it. I talked about my RNC speech. And it makes sense that the entire culture has become toxically feminine, has gone so in that direction of blind obedience of authority, of feeling-based politics, no space for rationality or any emphasis on logic or reason. We need a rebirth of the warrior culture, which celebrates manhood, fatherhood, being competent, strong, and going on that Genesis 12 adventure. In Genesis 12, Abram was called by God. In Genesis 12, 3, and he went on an adventure that changed the world. Men are starved for this. And instead, they disconnect many of them and become the lost boys of Peter Pan and endlessly play video games till 2 a.m., like Tim Walz. Instead, the culture tells them that their entire existence is toxic. They go to a college campus, and because the college campuses, the way that they are configured, they are called sexual abusers. They're guilty until proven innocent. To believe all women, they're forced to retreat, but the idea now of the status quo of the culture is that the way you fight back, the way that you retaliate, is through the conservative movement. And young ladies you are voting for the Democrat Party, you have no idea what you are doing. You have no idea what you're inviting into the country. You have no idea the misery, the suffering, the despair, the depression, the anxiety that you are inviting in to your own nation. All because you feel good because somebody danced on TikTok. Use some rationality and some reason. This is an amazing viral TikTok. We've played it before. This guy summarizes why men are disengaging with the current culture. There is more on the ballot than just killing your preborn baby. Play cut 42.
Adult white males between the ages of, say, 18 and 25 to...
The economy sucks. You're probably never going to buy a house. Your degree is useless and left you in mountains of debt. You're nowhere near capable of providing for a wife and kids, and you can't imagine yourself settling down with any of the women in your age bracket anyway because Disney princess programming and feminism has left them fundamentally unwifeable. You've grown up in a culture which has celebrated every other form of identity besides you and in exact proportion to how much they're not you, to the point that now schools and companies can hire based on that metric. All the while being told you can't complain or notice any of it because of how privileged you are, and if you don't know how privileged you are, it's because of your privilege. Even though you're basically a debt slave with minimal hope of a financial and familial future because your economy and culture has abandoned you. So a lot of dudes just checked out and started like smoking weed and playing video games. Some of the other ones went to countries where they like white people and men, like Thailand, I guess. And some of them were like, you know what, this is a good challenge. None of it makes sense. It's all going to shit. But f- it, I want a big house, and if you come on my land, I'm going to shoot you with guns. I want a bunch of kids and a wife churning butter. I'm going to make it happen, you fucks.
The conservative movement believes that men are the solution. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Thanks to the team at Hillsdale College, you can now watch an inspiring portrayal of Thomas Jefferson as he reflects on the meaning of the Declaration of Independence in a letter he wrote late in his life. Watch this special short video at charlie4hillsdale.com. Since its founding in 1844, Hillsdale has remained true to its mission of offering the kind of education needed to preserve the blessings of liberty, the blessings that can be traced to the principles of the Declaration signed on July 4th. At a time where the far left rejects the principles of liberty and equality, we must remind ourselves, our children, and our fellow citizens that those principles are the source of America's greatness and a treasure to be preserved. I invite you today to visit charlie4hillsdale.com to watch Hillsdale's educational and inspiring video, and you'll receive a free commemorative copy of the Declaration of Independence from my friends at Hillsdale. But don't delay. This is a limited-time offer. Go to charlie4hillsdale.com as we forever and always celebrate Independence Day, charlie4hillsdale.com. So the question is, do we try then to win over large percentages of Gen Z women right now, or offset it with more Gen Z men? And the answer is a little bit of both. Here's the issue. And J.D. Vance was attacked by the media relentlessly for isolating this issue. Is that you are more liberal when you are younger and you do not pay a mortgage, you do not have children, you are not looking at property tax bills, and you are not constantly having to pay for your own life. When you are in college, you are using OPM, other people's money. When you're in college, you're going into debt, so you're detached from the cost. In college, you're using mom and dad's money. In college, you're using other people's capital to make your livelihood possible. So therefore, you become convinced and you become certain that the best and only way to live is by voting for yourself, for the right to kill an unborn baby, for the right to... Besides, I don't even really know what they think they're doing. But they think that it's a vibes, a group therapy type of election. And Kamala Harris is running right into this. But thankfully, the majority of Americans don't put up with that. But the divide is really significant. And it's amazing. Younger men used to be far more liberal than they are now. Younger men used to be sympathetic towards this. Younger men used to be Obama bros and Bernie bros. Now, if you see a young man on campus, it is far more likely that that young man will be a conservative Trump supporter than not. I'm going on campus tomorrow at University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'll be taking questions, and anybody can come up and anybody can disagree. By the way, do you know a single Democrat that will do this? If you can find me, I think there might be one or two, maybe a TikTok guy here or there. But do you see any Democrat that does this, that will go on an adversarial environment and take open-ended questions? You see, at UW-Madison, anybody can come up and say anything. I'll be there for 2 to 3 hours. They can film it. They can say whatever they want. Bring it on. That's the way that dialogue, discourse, and freedom of speech should be. The vast majority of people that will come up and agree with me tomorrow will be men. The vast majority of people that come up and disagree will be women. And it's very hard to have these kinds of conversations. We're doing over 22 campus stops. Over 22 campus stops this semester from all across the country. I'll be in Boulder next week. I'll be at University of North Texas next week. We're at Madison tomorrow. We're going to be doing stuff in Georgia. We're doing stuff in Pennsylvania. We're doing stuff in Michigan. We're hitting every major Arizona campus with the message that we have here on this program that there is a better future ahead of you. And to try and spread the conservative worldview, which is a much harder sell for a generation that says, well, what is there to conserve? It's about my future, my freedom. So as a generation becomes more and more feminine, you start to see the following. You see more emphasis on empathy and cooperation, more emphasis on nurturing. So, for example, let's take the immigration issue. A feminine movement and a feminine political movement. Let me just say, this is not an attack on women. There's a lot of women in this audience that are watching. I'm not attacking. I'm talking about the character attributes of femininity versus masculinity and how those two things must work in tandem and work in harmony with one another. But when a culture becomes too feminine, you look at the issue of immigration, they'll look at the Venezuelan gangs and mobs. They'll say, wow, I wonder who wronged them. I wonder where they went awry. We should have compassion for the 10 million illegals that have come into the country. Whereas a more masculine perspective would be about rationality and rules and order and structure, the enforcement of norms. It wouldn't put up with this. Where men and a masculine trait would say, why would we allow the erosion of our sovereignty and the deterioration of our borders? So here's a great example. Here is Jared Polis, who is the governor of Colorado. He doesn't answer this. This is the typical Democrat man. Weak, not confident, not assertive, dodgy, very feelings-based, and also an outright liar, talking about the fact that Venezuelan mobs have been taking over his apartment buildings, and he got confronted on the border wall issue. Play cut four.
Democrats in general, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, you know, Barack Obama, have always been supportive of building barriers and walls for certain parts of the border as part of a comprehensive border security strategy.
Well, but wait a minute. She called the
tech and monitoring.
I mean, she called the border wall a medieval vanity project, a stupid use of money, and said that she would block funding for it. So she wasn't talking about supporting, the wall.
That's true. The border wall that Donald Trump has proposed is a huge boondoggle and waste of taxpayer money. He effectively talked about a wall across the entire border rather than using barriers of different kinds effectively in a cost-effective manner. And, of course, Donald Trump's border wall would not work, would waste taxpayer money.
Do you think that Governor Polis is someone that you would follow into war? You would follow him? This is why we are seeing. Do you think young men are inspired by Governor Polis? Here is a piece of data. It's about a minute long, and it goes into great detail of this theme exactly. Play cut 44.
The gender divide that's reflected in the candidates themselves is mirrored in polling among young Americans. Writing for the New York Times this week, Claire Kane Miller observed the following, quote, "In some ways, this presidential election has become a referendum on gender roles. And the generation with the biggest difference in opinion between male and female voters is Generation Z. On one side are young women who, as a group, are very liberal. They've been politically galvanized by gender bombshells like hashtag MeToo, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and the candidacy of Vice President Kamala Harris. On the other are young men, some of whom feel that rapidly changing gender roles have left them behind socially and economically, and see former President Donald J. Trump as a champion of traditional manhood. A recent New York Times Siena College poll finds young voters have the greatest gender divide compared to every other age group. It's 51 points. In other words, men between the ages of 18 and 29, they favor former President Trump over Vice President Harris by 13 points. Women in the same age group are choosing Harris over Trump by 38 points.
By 38 points. The future of America, Gen Z, it's not based on race, by the way. Black men are more conservative. Hispanic men are more conservative. Asian men are more conservative. Sadly, we're winning men by less than we're losing women. And so do we try to win over the young ladies? Well, we've tried to do that at Turning Point USA. We do our Young Women's Leadership Summit. We reach out to them. But you talk to these young ladies, they have nothing to conserve. They don't have children. They don't have stable boyfriends. They're not certainly not married. They're told all those things are toxic. All those things are dangerous. All those things are evil. So as we've said many times, you prioritize. They prioritize career. They get into their late 20s and early 30s. They put off family. They put off family. They put off family. They're not religious because they go to college. And honestly, part of the problem is because so many families have sent their kids to these colleges that infect them with these mind viruses, and in their late 20s and early 30s, and they wonder why they're so depressed. And the Democrat Party is their church. The Democrat Party is their connection to meaning. The Democrat Party is where they go to fill the void of existential despair. And yes, some young men still support the Democrat Party inexcusably, basically sowing the seeds for their own destruction. The Democrat Party is so anti-male. The Democrat Party is so against American manhood. The Democrat Party is leading a relentless campaign and a relentless jihad against the American man. They would love nothing more than complete subservient obedience. They want nothing more than testosterone rates to go down. They love nothing more than for you to never ask questions. Look, during COVID, was the masculine trait or the feminine trait rewarded during COVID? You were rewarded for snitching on your neighbor, not asking questions, submitting, and getting your ninth booster shot. You were kicked out of the military for not taking the booster shot or for not taking the vaccine, for asking questions, for resisting lockdown orders, for saying that we're going to keep our church open. Like Tim Walz, they say he is some sort of archetype of masculinity, but he's really conservatism and masculine in drag. He shoots guns, wears flannel, but he's in compliance with all of his handlers. And by the way, he shakes his hand of his wife. There's something very weird with that guy. By the way, you want to talk about projection? He's the one that started the weird thing. One day we're going to find out a weird thing about Tim Walz. One day. I'm telling you. Shakes his hand of his wife. That's the picture of the American man? No. And young men are looking for a reason to continue, for validation that it's okay to exist as a male. And the Democrat Party says there's no place for you unless you conform into being a wimp. Increasingly, the Republican Party is a place that celebrates it, encourages it, molds it, and realizes you cannot have a decent, strong society without strong men, period. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Did you know that 80% of adults take supplements to feel our best, right? Well, one thing your dog can't do without you is improve their diet or health to feel their best. That is why I believe Rough Greens could dramatically help your best friend by adding what is missing to their diet like you do. Rough Greens is helping thousands and thousands of dogs feel better and live longer, including my dog, Mr. Briggs, who loves it. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who created Rough Greens, is also an airborne ranger and Green Beret, an amazing background. He loves dogs and is on a mission to help as many as he can. Dog food is dead, and Rough Greens supplements your dog's food with existing vitamins and minerals, omega oils, digestive enzymes, probiotics, and antioxidants. Dr. Black is offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. So fetch your free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover shipping. Don't change your dog's food. Just go to roughgreens.com/Kirk, RUFFgreens.com/Kirk. It's amazing. You go through evangelical voters, favor Donald Trump by 33 points, Protestants, 9 points, Catholics, 11 points, Jewish, 4 points, amazingly. Atheists favor Kamala Harris by 67 points. The less religious you are, the more likely you are to support the Democrat Party. Of course. Because the Democrat Party fills that existential despair. This is per Mark Mitchell, by the way, at Rasmussen Reports. Of course it makes sense. If you do not believe in the divine, then you need something to fill that void. There is no such thing as a lack of religious person. The atheist just says they don't believe in the God of the Bible. Instead, they believe in the God of the Democrat Party. And for single women, woke politics give meaning to their lives. For single women that aren't religious and they don't have boyfriends and they don't have husbands, politics gives them that kind of fulfillment that they otherwise would not find, that they otherwise would find somewhere else. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Tomorrow, the reigning Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, kick off the NFL season. The way it works in the NFL, you win a Super Bowl, you get to host the first game back the next year. They play the Baltimore Ravens. We did an entire segment on Brittany Mahomes, who is the wife of Patrick Mahomes. I have a lot of respect for Patrick and Brittany. They've been married. They've been together since high school. They're a great couple. They're now expecting their third kid. They've been outspoken for many years about the need to have strong families. Now, Donald Trump has tweeted about her, but just by background, Brittany Mahomes liked an Instagram post of Donald Trump, doubled and tripled down, and has now said, she said on social media, "I support Donald Trump, MAGA 2024. Now, understand, this is like the first family of football. Brittany Mahomes hangs out with Taylor Swift. Brittany Mahomes is almost on all over social media. She has 2 million social media followers. She divides the internet. A lot of people don't like her. I have no strong feelings about her, except now that I'm a huge fan of Brittany Mahomes because she has a spine not just to endorse Donald Trump, but refuses to apologize for her support of Donald Trump. So Donald Trump puts on Truth Social. I want to thank the beautiful Brittany Mahomes for so strongly defending me. And the fact that MAGA is the greatest, most powerful political movement in the history of our now failing country. With crime and illegal immigration totally out of control, inflation ravaging all Americans, and a world that is laughing at the stupidity of our hapless leaders, it is nice to see someone who loves our country and wants to save it from doom. What a great couple. See you both at the Super Bowl." So I guess Donald Trump is making a pick that the Chiefs will be back on the Super Bowl. Hard to disagree with that. Now, understand, the post that Brittany Mahomes originally liked was the RNC Platform Top 20, which is an objectively phenomenal 20 points. The big question that is on everybody's minds is that in Kansas City tomorrow, will Taylor and Brittany be in the same suite together? Will they now be pictured? Will there be a little bit of drama? Will Taylor not be pictured with Brittany anymore? You could make the argument that maybe Taylor is not as likely to embrace Kamala Harris as the media might lead you to believe. Who knows? So Brittany Mahomes has come out and has said that I am going to align myself with Donald Trump. Or align myself, I'm going to embrace Donald Trump. Honestly, God bless her. And God bless Patrick for standing by her. Now, Donald Trump is definitely now making this a little bit more complicated by making a Truth Social here. But I think they're going to handle it great. For no other reason, by the way, that the Kansas City fan base is very pro-MAGA. And so Donald Trump is playing like three-dimensional chess here, where I think he kind of knows this is not exactly the New York Jets. It's not the Seattle Seahawks. It's not the San Francisco 49ers. This is one of the reddest places in the country. Now, remember, the Chiefs owner, Gracie Hunt, defended Harrison Butker when Harrison Butker came out in favor of pro-family ideas and pro-family formation. Which were essentially pro-Catholic sentiments. And Harrison Butker's a terrific guy. Really, really amazing. Really enjoyed getting to know him. I have to say, this never would have happened in 2020. You want to say, "Oh, Charlie, is this 2020 happening all over again?" In 2020, you would not have a single athlete, let alone a blue-chip athlete or his spouse, publicly going on social media and defending Donald Trump. The price was too high. We are in a much, much better cultural landscape we are 4 years ago. I know that it is easy to think that everything is constantly getting worse all the time. Not really. We've made some huge cultural progress. You can thank Elon Musk. You can thank X. You can thank Joe Rogan. You can thank this insurgent force. But as we were saying, the battle of the sexes, isn't it fitting that the NFL is now becoming the quiet pro-MAGA space in the American cultural landscape? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.